Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
So as the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to open to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25. Let's take our Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25. I hope we are all there. Who is not there yet? By the help of technology, it's just a click, then you are there. 2 Kings chapter 5, the verse 25. And I read from the New King James Version. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha, said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Verse 26. Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive lepers as white as snow?" That is our first reading. Our second reading is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the verse 8. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 8. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. What does Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 8 says? From the Amplified Version. He said, "Let your clothes always be white with purity, and do not let the oil of gladness or oil be lacking on your head." The Amplified Version said, oil into brackets of gladness. Then our last reading will be taken from the book of Psalms chapter 89 verse 20. Short readings. Psalms 89 verse 20. The book of Psalms chapter 89 verse 20. So today, we still want to continue on the sub-series Catch the Anointing. And today is the second message on Catch the Anointing sub-series. And we'll be looking at why they did not catch the anointing. Today's topic is very critical. Just as other topics or other sermons we've looked at. And I'm really happy at the testimony our brother Joshua gave. He actually called me and I told him that he should call me the following day. Let's pray together for the mother. To him, my time is not favorable for his time. So he has to take matters into his own hand. And that is the reason why we are teaching you all these things. Do you get it? That there will be a time. I keep saying this, that there's going to be a day that you call pastor. Pastor will not be available. And when you are not prepared enough in that day of adversity, when pastor is not available, there you will know that the devil can also deal with you. Hallelujah. So it is very important. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I will encourage that, you see, the grace is on all of us. And it doesn't take much for God to use you. So that is a very good thing. So I still want us to follow on the concept of what catches the anointing. All right. Now, last week, we looked at the role of human vessels in our ability to assess the anointing. I hope you remember that. And I summarized the three-part sub-series last week. That number one, the concept of the anointing is to establish the point of what? Acceptance. Do you get it? And that was what we said. You remember that aspect? That we are anointed as a reason of being, we be not accepted. So he that has established us as also what? Anointed as not in Christ Jesus. We also established as a fact that the anointing is what brings out our destiny ordination as the fragrance of what? Of Christ. And also the third thing that I said last week was that the anointing, as a third understanding to the anointing, is that it shows the progressive what? Growth or level we come as with God, with our levels of what? Getting close to our destined ordination. So the anointing is a seal of our response to God's calling, and as we respond to the calling of God, the anointing also what? Increases. So that was what? Another measure, another what? 1,000. Before I talk about the mechanisms that are necessary or you can put in place to trap an anointing or tap anointing, I want to talk about something that is very important, in the sense that irrespective of whatever you are told or whatever you are taught to catch an anointing, if you become or if you show any of this character here, then I can tell you with all authority that you will never catch an anointing. You can even sleep in Archbishop's packet, leave or do whatever you want to do, eat the same food with Archbishop, wear his dress, do whatever you want to do, you will never get the anointing. That is why I said why they did not catch the anointing. And our character study today, our character study for today's concept will be one very anointed man of God called Gehazi. Hallelujah. Now, if there is anything that I can use closely to really emphasize this aspect of anointing, I keep talking about anointing. Today I want to come from another angle, and that is formal education, right? Now, in our community, in the society that we all belong to, there is one of the beliefs that we are all nurtured with from childhood, which is the role of formal education in we becoming great and relevant in society or in the community or in the country cannot be ignored. So the moment you are born, one of the first thing that your parent or the community expects from you is to what? Go to school. There were times that even when we were young in the village those days, we could go and then catch people who have refused to come to school and bring them to school. Have you ever done some before? We call them kubolo. When they don't come to school, there are guys who are the tough guys, they'll go and look for them, and then in fact they'll bundle you and bring you to school. Why? Because the society believes that formal education is very necessary. Hallelujah. Professions such as medicine, banking, accounting, law, engineering, architecture, whatever, any of those professions, acquired skilled knowledges that commands honor, respect, and provide means of wealth creation and all other possible things are all through formal education. You can never be a medical doctor without a formal education. So it is a formal education that gives us self recognition as what, a practicing what next. It doesn't matter how skillful I am, if I don't have a formal education with a proof. Formal education has a proof, that is what we call certificate. If I don't have a proof of certificate, no matter how knowledgeable I am in medicine, I cannot practice it. So all these professions that brings nobility and brings honor to people are all embedded in formal education. Are you following me? Therefore, both natural talents and acquired skills thrives when formal education is given to a person. One of the problems of Ghanaian footballers or African talents is that we ignore the aspect of formal education. Are you with me? Most talented people in Africa never went far because they never strengthened the aspect of what? Formal education. The ability to read and write and what? Comprehend. Are we there? Are you with me? So you see that if you come to society, one of the things that emphasis is placed on, money is spent on, is formal education. Because without it, irrespective of whatever you have, both talent or whatever thing, will not yield. Are we there? Hence, people who had a little or no formal education do one way or the other struggle to find their feet in higher places of the society. And many do not make any meaningful impact in their generation, true or false. I'm going to link it to anointing, so follow me. So you see, in this physical world we are living now, for higher impact, for higher places, there is a place where formal education is what? Very important. You can be gifted, but if you are not knowledgeable, you don't get there. How many of you remember our late Ikwia Donko? Do you remember her? Why didn't you vote for her? That's not funny. You see? So, in as much as she could be very experienced and had the knowledge to lead the country, one of the reasons why you will not look at her direction is because she doesn't have a proof of what? Formal education. That's how much society has come to trust in certificate. Don't joke with it. If you are here and you don't have interest in going to school, you are doing yourself harm. Don't stop learning. Don't stop acquiring certificate. If it's in your capacity, keep pushing. Because this society, irrespective of whatever you have, education is very important. Very, very, very important. Do you know that even now, footballers, most of them, even whilst they are playing, they are schooling. And by the time you realize, I was so surprised when I heard, is it this guy, Ikanji, in Manchester City, he's a mathematician. I was shocked. Yes. And if the guy is so good with maths, and he's a graduate, university graduate, masters, right? Yeah, yeah. How many know that Rashford, whilst he was schooling, he was still playing for Manchester United? They believe in education. It helps you to try. So talent is not enough. So anything that we have to do in this world, education, formal education, very important. So the reason why I'm making this statement is that if the believer can hold the same understanding of the place of the anointing in their life as how we see formal education, many of us will end up living to the fulfillment of our destiny ordination. That's the picture I want to paint for you today. If the believer can hold and see or have the same understanding about this anointing we are talking about in the way we understand and we cherish formal education, then every believer, almost every believer, will end up fulfilling their destiny ordination. Why? Because without the anointing, no one can be able to bring out their destiny ordination, what God intended them to fulfill. And then a very clear scripture that established this is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. He said, let your garment be white. Talk about the work of our purity, but I said, let your head lack not oil. Let your head not lack no oil. Let your garment be what? White. And let your head lack no oil. It means that irrespective of whatever you intend to become, there must be something on your heart, your head. There must be a proof of something on heart. We have to see it. So when he said he has anointed my head with oil, it's an evidence, we can see it. So irrespective of how good and talented somebody is, we need a certificate. In government sectors, do you know that promotion comes by certificate? Not necessarily you are good at the job. How many of you know that? So if somebody went, is employed by the government and the person is an undergrad, first degree, and as the person is working, the person comes with a proof of masters, automatically the person is qualified for what? Promotion. And the more the person acquires certificates, the more the government sector sees the person as what? Capable of doing what? More responsible what? Things. The same with anointing. So if your head lacks oil, there's trouble. Your head must not lack oil. So in as much as you cherish formal education, I want you to cherish anointing, because without anointing, you are nothing. No one can fulfill their destiny ordination without anointing. You see, anything you want to become in life as a Christian, do not ignore the anointing, because it's going to be a struggle for you. So if you want to become a lawyer and you say you don't go to school, that is going to be a whole of a struggle. Can that be achieved without school? Can you be a lawyer without going to school? No, nobody can ask that. Are you with me? The same way with anointing. You can't say that you're going to do the work of God or do the will of God without the anointing. It doesn't work that way. So your head must not lack oil. Now, one thing that anointing and formal education have in common, why I'm using them today as an example, is that they are all unattainable without human vessels playing a critical role in them. Nobody who is born started to educate themselves from day one they were born. Somebody taught you something. Hello? Hello? Did you reach this level you reach without anybody teaching you? You went to the classroom, then you started moving from one class to another class, and you came out and then you are who you are. No. So formal education and anointing that I'm trying to bring together as to pair them and let you see the same understanding is that one thing they have in common is that you cannot achieve them without a human factor. There is always a human factor to the next level. There's always a human factor in it. So both of them, you need a human factor. You need a human factor to achieve it. Therefore, today's topic is not about only the role of the human factor, which I've already spoken about last week. But today's topic is about how we can still miss out on the anointing when human vessels play their full part in helping us to get it. Yes, as how some of us can still go to school and even have the best of education and still come out useless. True of us. Didn't you sit with people in classroom, the same class, and now by the grace of God you are doing, and then they are living a useless life? So it doesn't matter you went to what is the most expensive school in Ghana here? I heard which are some of the schools? The Montessori's, the international schools. Yes, they are good. There are people who still go to those schools and come out and they are useless. So it's not only about the systems and the mechanism to trap the anointing. Sometimes you can have all those things in place and still you not catch the anointing. Your life will be useless. Are you with me? Are you with me? So today, let's look at those things that can make it possible that somebody can live and have everything in place for him or her to attract the anointing, but the person will never end up being anointed. I hope you are following me. So don't take the anointing topic lightly at all. If you cannot make it without formal education, then you cannot make it without anointing too, spiritually. That is it. You cannot. So every height that you want to attain in life, as you pursue formal education, in achieving those heights and everything, learning, being taught, being whatever you are doing, remember that spiritually your destiny ordination can never come out until anointing is at place. Hallelujah. Therefore, I pray that you'll be anointed in Jesus' name. All right, let's take our first reading. Can you project it for me? 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's read it again. So our first reading speaks of a young minister who was the possible next in line to the succession of an inheritance, but missed out on it. His name is what? Gehazi. His name is what? Gehazi. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's go back to the verse 25. Verse 25. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha, said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Continue. Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" Verse 27. "Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." This is serious. "And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow." Now, if you study the Bible, there's the account of Gehazi from the chapter 4, chapter 5 with Elisha. And if you study the Bible, though the Bible never explicitly said that Elisha was preparing Gehazi to be the next in line of succession through the anointing. Are you following me? But if you study the patterns of behaviors in scriptures and how things work, you will realize that indeed Gehazi was next in line. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now, in biblical tradition, close discipleship often precedes spiritual inheritance, including the anointing. There's people like Joshua took over from Moses because of close what? Discipleship. Let's look at certain scriptures. Let's look at something. In the book of Exodus chapter 33 verse 11, I said the Bible never said explicitly that Gehazi was next in line to receive the anointing. Are you following me? But you can see that in the patterns of the traditions of scriptures, you will see that close discipleship is to prepare somebody for spiritual inheritance. Let's look at Joshua and then Moses. Let's look at something. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now watch this. Anytime Moses goes into the tabernacle to speak with God, you find out that Joshua is in a close proximity to Moses. What was that? What was the reason for? It's because He is a disciple. Somebody was what? Discipling. So the Bible says, whilst God was speaking to Moses, Joshua was not far from what? The scene. They never mentioned any other person. Joshua. So you see the close, the proximity to the what is happening to what? Moses. Another one. You could see that because Moses, even though Moses never said, or Moses may not know, I don't know whatever be the case, or whatever be the whole thing, you find out that the act of that discipleship could breed some kind of trust to the extent that the first defense minister of Israel was Joshua. How many of you know that? In the book of Exodus chapter 17 verse 9 to 10, let's watch something. The first war that Israel fought was led by what? Joshua. And it was Moses who instructed him to do that. Close proximity and discipleship. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with what? Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. He didn't call Aaron. He didn't call other people, but he called the one who was close to him and trusted him with a responsibility that requires what? Trust. So Joshua didn't come out of anywhere to become a leader. You can see the close what? Discipleship between Joshua and what? And Moses. So in the book of Numbers chapter 27 verse 18, you could see that God instructed Moses to anoint Joshua, and it was not a surprise. So before God told Moses to anoint Joshua in his place, there were evidences of what? Close what? Discipleship. So as I said, even though the Bible never said that Gehazi was next in line as the successor of Elisha, you could see from the patterns and the traditions of scriptures that the proximity between Gehazi and then Elisha is enough for us to conclude that that young man was the next to take over from what? Elisha. Let's read. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands on him. Continue. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. Verse 20. And you shall give some of your authority to what? To him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be what? Obedient. Numbers. So this was the first promotion. Are you all there? Are you all with me? Are you following what we are looking at here? Let's take another example. Second pattern. The second pattern is the pattern between Elisha and Elijah. Now, let's read the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 15. All the way to the verse 19. You found out that even though God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha in his stead, it took discipleship, close proximity. He has to walk with what? Elijah for some time before that could happen. Let's look at it. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as the king of Israel. Also, you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as the king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Now let's continue. Verse 17. Let's read through. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and did what? And found Elisha. So when the prophecy came, Elisha was not in the scene with Elijah. Are you with me here? Found Elisha, the son of what? Shepherd, who was plowing with 12 yoke of what? Oxen. So this guy was a businessman. He was working. When the prophecy came, he was already doing a business. And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle. This is what he called him. But the prophecy came before he was what? He was called. But when he didn't say that, a young man,
They said, you are the next prophet, so come and receive the anointing. From here, the Bible said, and Elisha served at the feet of Elisha, washing his feet and attending to his knees. So before the anointing came upon Elisha, you could see that pattern of Moses and Joshua also happening to what? Elisha and what? Elijah. So when you saw what Elisha was doing with Gehazi, he was also following what? The same pattern. Let me give you two more examples. You remember the 120 disciples that the Holy Ghost came upon? Do you remember them? The book of Acts chapter 1. Now when Peter was calling for a replacement of the apostle, he said that, let us choose among us one of us who has been with us from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry to date. Jesus ministered to a lot of people, but the people who caught the anointing first were the people who had close proximity with Jesus for his first 2.5 years before he left. So it's not something that you see. So we'll get there. I'm already showing certain signs of how we catch anointing. But I just want to show you why I can stand here and tell you that Gehazi was to be the next person to replace Elisha, but he missed it. Why he didn't catch the anointing? So have you seen the pattern? Finally, Timothy and Paul. In the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 1 to 3, you see that Timothy, also Paul found him with their grandparents. Let's read it. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there and named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was what? Greek. Let's continue. Verse 2. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Verse 3. Paul wanted to have him go on what? With him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was what? A Greek. When Paul came and he heard about the good news of Timothy, he decided that he would. Do you know that it was the walk he walked with Paul that made him to have the capacity called the anointing? Remember Paul said that, do not neglect the giftings on you by the laying of hands. You remember he said that? Where did he come from? Close proximity. That made him a pastor of Ephesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look at the pattern, okay, in the scriptures, for anybody to catch anointing, there must always be close what? Proximity of discipleship. So that was the story of Gehazi. So Gehazi also, as the pattern has revealed with Elisha, was with Elisha, such that he even sent him on some ministerial duties, just as Moses did with Joshua. Do you know that? Let's read the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 29 and to 31. Gehazi was not just there to wash the hands or the feet of Elisha and attend to his errands. He started receiving ministerial assignments. Let's watch that. He didn't fail in that assignment though. Let's read. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. Verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Verse 31. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. If it was just a mere servant that Elisha thought he was, do you think you could trust him? Do you understand the word staff? Authority. He gave them the authority to go and operate in the grace upon his life. That should tell you that Gehazi was next in line. The gentleman could have done more. But the Bible said he ended up with leprosy. So why? What happened? What happened that a man who was also in the same pattern, look at what Elijah did and Elisha took over, and look at what Elisha did and Gehazi, just imagine what Gehazi would have done. Because if Elijah did the double of what Elisha did, sorry, the double of Elijah, then what would have been of the outcome of Gehazi? Gehazi would have been one of the most impactful prophets in that generation. But the Bible said he could not catch the anointing. He could not catch the anointing. He ended up catching leprosy. I pray for you. Maybe you are the next in line to become the next billionaire in this country. Maybe you are the next in line to receive the anointing upon the life of Archbishop. May you never end up with leprosy in the name of Jesus. Elisha was preparing the next prophet for the next generation, but he ended up being not a leprosy. Why? The question is why? The reason why Gehazi and many other people in scriptures could not catch the anointing is because they failed the four tests that everybody will pass before they catch an anointing. Do you know it's not Gehazi who was the only person who failed? Do you remember the sons of Samuel? The Bible said their father made them judges, but they could not perform as their father did. So the people of Israel requested for what? A king. There are many people who have come in close proximity with the anointing, but never caught the anointing. Can you mention any miracle that Aaron did in the Bible, but he was walking every day with his brother? Oh, are you with me? Are you following? Aaron was walking every day with the brother, but he never caught the anointing. So you see, you can do whatever you think you are doing, all in the name of trying to tap and trap an anointing, but you miss it if these four tests I'm about to talk about, you don't have it. Some of you, I know that you think that catching the anointing is about praying and fasting. No. God, you see, the Bible says we don't cast our pearls among what? Swines. If you have the character of a swine, you will not get the pearl. You can't cast the pearls among swine. The anointing of God is precious. And I've already told you, nobody can fulfill their destiny or nation without the anointing. So if you don't learn to master these four things I'm going to talk about today, then your life is already in danger. Do you know why this generation, a lot of people have been praying? Most of us, we pray, we fast, and we cry for the anointing, but we are not seeing anointing. It's because it does not follow the way we see it. First test. Do you know that Timothy was not the only person that Paul chose to become his son? There was one particular guy. He said, he abandoned me because of what? The love of this world. We'll get to that guy. I pray for you that you will catch the anointing. I said you will do what? Catch the anointing. The first test, the test of servanthood. Nobody catches anointing without passing the test of what? Servanthood. Now, the test of servanthood is the willingness to serve, or the willingness to serve is the prerequisite to catch an anointing or to be anointed. Anybody who is not willing to serve will never be what? Anointed. Now let me help you. Even the one who was called the anointed, the whole gospel of Mark defined him as what? Servant. The one who is the originator, the owner of the whole thing, he himself is called what? Servant. Mark chapter 10 verse 43 to 45. Now they came to him and they wanted him to teach them how to become the greatest, the most anointed. Listen to what he told them. Yet it shall not be so. Mark chapter 10 verse 43. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Continue. And whoever of you desire to be first shall be what? Slaves of all. You see the pattern? Now, verse 45. For even the son, do you hear the word Jesus said? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. How did he serve? And to give his life as ransom for many. Even the Jesus you are following didn't come for us to serve him, but what? To serve us. So the reason why he became Christ is because he took upon himself the servanthood, that he will serve The first test to pass as you are seeking to tap an anointing is the test of servanthood. If you fail, you're out. You can fast and pray, you get usher. You never catch any anointing. Because the anointing is attracted to an act of what? Service. It's the prerequisite, the first requirement. Now, let me help you define what we call service or being a servant or serving from biblical perspective. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. As of people think that the people don't understand the concept of serving. The reason many people are not catching anointing is because although they think they are serving, they are not serving. Let me show you what the Bible calls an act of serving in Bible concept. Let's read. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of what? The heart. As to what? Christ. Now let me go to the verse 7, verse 6. Not with what? Eye service. As men what? Pleases. But as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from what? The heart. Verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not what? To men. Now let me explain service from biblical point of view. Service that God sees a part of servanthood as an act of service is any form of service rendered without the principle of what? Eye service. A service that is rendered not in the way of eye service is what the Bible sees as what? Service, and calls such a person a servant. Do you know an eye service? It also went ahead to express out men what? Pleases. An eye service. Okay, I'll come there. I'll come there. I'll link it to Gehazi. When we say people are offering eye service, they do what is right and they do what they are supposed to do because those who are supervising them are there. If those who are supervising them are not there, they are a different person. The question is, if I don't call you to do what you're supposed to do, will you do it? If you need my presence, you need me to call you. Because he's talking about masters. Yeah, he's talking about those who are authority over those who are leading you. If you need my presence to do the right thing, then you're not serving. And forget anointing. You will not be anointed. Man pleases. Eye service is when the person is around, he will do the right thing. But in the absence of the person, you are doing a different thing. Let's look at Gehazi. The same place we read, verse 25 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 6. High service. People are in the church. If they are only going to do it when pastor is around. When pastor is around, do the right thing. Pastor, unless they are the one who is the boss over them, like, servant, you are not a servant. You don't understand servanthood. Servanthood is not an eye pleasing thing. It's not an eye service to catch the eyes of people, to catch their attention. I've seen this all over and over in ministry, that there are people, when they tell them to do something, until they are supervised, being called, they will do it because they want to be noticed. So there are certain things they are doing because they want to be noticed. Let me show you Gehazi. That's a Gehazi spirit. Watch. So, 2 Kings chapter 25, verse. Okay. Is that where we are? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25. I was talking about Gehazi. So, put me at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25. Watch what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, when he went in and stood before his master, have you seen it? He left the master to go and do something. Now, when he went to stand before his master, watching, Elisha said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" What was his first response? And he said, "Your servant did not." Do you hear that? Where he responded, "Your servant, oh holy Adao, daddy, I did not." Lo shalala la la. See that did you cash? Holy are thou, O servant of God. And so if the boy in Jane Piabano. Okay, no, fine. Oh Papa, glory to Jesus. Shalaba. Your servant. Your darling boy, your darling girl. You want to catch anointing? You're joking. I'm not serious. Did not go anywhere. Give me the verse 26. It sounds funny, but that's how we are. Eye service. So when they see spiritus, when they see, my man of God. Then he said to him, did not my heart, Adam said, did not my spirit go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? To Gehazi, when he left, because when he was leaving, Elisha was not around. So he chased after the man. So to him, as far as my boss is not around, whatever I do does not count. So he think that being a servant was just washing the feet of the Lord. He didn't know that what he does in the absence of the boss was equally important as what he does in the presence of the boss. So he ended up not knowing that wherever he was, the heart. You see, I always said this, whatever you see, whatever you are not ashamed of or you are not scared of to do in the presence of God, don't be scared to do it in my presence. No. You're a hypocrite. People want to catch anointing, but what they've asked them to do, it is when they are called, when there are pressure on them, when it looks like it can gain attention. Also, I normally see this at Crusade Ground. When we are doing preparations and other stuff, people not get involved. But the moment camera, a crowd, people can see what they are doing. That is why you see people are hardworking. Many Christians, that's how we are. You see, you go to an office and you want to become, you want God to promote you, an anointing to lift you there. But the work you do in the absence of your boss, and you want to be anointed, you are like Gehazi, your servant. Oh boss, your servant. I pray for you that you will not fail the test of what? Servanthood. Not be eye pleasers. You are doing the work of God because people are appreciating you. So the day that people didn't appreciate you is the end. Let me tell you, whether you acknowledge me or not, I'm not working for you. I'm doing it because it is required of me. Question is, what you are doing in the house of God? Let me ask you. Are you doing it because somebody say, oh, you are doing well? You are doing to get so that you'll be called to become an elder? Some of you, yes. I don't know. Way back on campus, let me share this story. When I was then UCC prayer secretary, chaplaincy prayer secretary, there was this guy who came so close to me. I didn't know that was the agenda. Any errand I need this gentleman to run, he would do it. But when I was praying about whom to hand over to, he was not coming in the scene. Me, myself, I was surprised. So I decided to test him and see. So while I was about handing over, I didn't hand over to him. I hand over to a different person. He stopped coming to MPF. He stopped. In fact, he stopped picking my call. Till today, we don't talk. It was later on I found out from the friends that this young man was interested in what I was doing and coming around because he wanted me to notice him and hand over to him. You are not a servant. You are a businessman or a businesswoman who is trying to buy your way in. So that, you see, the thing is, you are that is PR, correct PR. You are doing eye service. Your servant did not go anywhere. So in the eyes of Elisha, oh, Gehazi is still fit for purpose. So that, you see, that is why even when the rod was given to you, it didn't work. The agenda. So I said over here, the test of motive in service is revealed when you are acting in the absence of the one who watches you. The test of motive of service is sin. I pray we will all be like Joseph. Even in the absence of Potiphar, he said, "Jew, I cannot do this with you." Joseph stood his ground, not because Potiphar was in the house, but in the absence of what? That is what today's generation, especially those in the music ministry, let me tell you, most of them are not singing because they are serving God. They are singing so that they will be noticed. Second test. So forget anointing. If you are not a servant, forget it. And if you think you are serving, ask yourself, if nobody is calling you, thanking you, watching you, do you still do what is required of you? That is what you are a servant. Number two, the test of faithfulness. The test of faithfulness. Today I'll not keep long. I'll close. The test of faithfulness talks about your ability to accomplish an assignment or a task assigned to you, or handle something that has been put in your trust in all integrity. That is the test of faithfulness. Very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. So the reason why many people couldn't make it to the next step is because they failed in the test of faithfulness. Moreover, it is required. Somebody, do you see? As I thought, required. The thing required means that it is what? An expectation. Something that is needed for you to get it. It's just like you want to go to the university without a WASI certificate. Moreover, it is required that WASI certificate will guarantee you admission. Required. In stewards, that one be found what? Faithful. The test of faithfulness is the reason that majority of people have missed out in catching anointing because they failed to be faithful. Now, what makes this whole faithfulness thing difficult? Here is it. Our destiny ordination comes into full manifestation through several callings that God will call us into. Several callings. When you become born again, it's the first call. There are other calls that God is going to call you. And those callings are going to be revealing your destiny ordination one by one. And from what we learned last week, we know that for every calling that God calls us, there is an evidence of what? An anointing. An anointing is what? It's a seal of that calling. So we saw the patterns of the life of David. When he was called, the first calling, he was anointed. The second calling was what? Anointed. The third calling was what? Anointed. So we see that every calling comes with anointing. The problem is that with the first call, if you fail to work through it all with all integrity, the second call, Emma, you do not. So if you fail in few things, like sweeping the church, leading Bible studies, following up on souls assigned for you, all these things you see small, there's an anointing. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the first test is that these are some of the things. See that when somebody comes born again, you know that is the beginning of the anointing, acceptance, right? You see that there is this desire to do these things. If you fail in believing these things, how do you expect God to trust in you, in your hands, mega church, a mega crusade? So if you are failing, or you have failed in the little things, let's read Matthew chapter 25 verse 21. How can you handle a mega crusade that comes with a different level of anointing? Test of faithfulness. And many Christians have failed this test, especially when it comes to the prosperity anointing. Because God gave them 10,000 and they stopped church. 10,000. Then God will say to heaven, if I give you 10,000 and you not come to church, then if I give you $1 million, that one, in fact, you curse me. Oh. God gave you 10,000 Ghana cedis and you are struggling to give an offering of 1,000 cedis. God said, how much more if I give you 1 million and I say you should pay a tithe of $100,000? Said, this guy. Now he said, his Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. How? You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Don't be praying for anointing to take over Accra if you cannot be faithful with the 3 souls that God has given you to what? Take care of. Don't be praying for any financial uplifting if you are not faithful financially to God. That prosperity anointing will not come. In fact, you can sit under the feet of whoever you are thinking about. Eh? Let him lay hands and legs on you. Vomit on you, whatever. You will not catch it. It doesn't work that way. You have failed the test of faithfulness. You have failed. You were not able to see through a tax given to you. See, some of us are not here because we just got up. And no. When I went to UCC Cape Coast and we started camp meeting in 2015, that was the first time we started a sector camp in this ministry. Do you know that I was able to hold on to that camp till COVID? The rest of them collapsed. We are not the only one who started. Western region started. Volta region started. And then Cape Coast and then Kumasi. From 2015 to 2019 or so forth, I held on. They were the first people we started a camp with. Which year did you complete, Ranka? So it was, what is the name? Winnigold. We started a camp with. Yeah. I held on to that faithfulness. Cape Coast camp, every year, whether there is money or no money. You think that God will not give me something greater for my faithfulness? Test of faithfulness. When you start something, come on, sweeping church. You did it for 1 month and you are done. Do you think that, oh, God, you don't know, eh? Hey, you don't know. You don't know that Mordecai, it was sitting at the gate of the king that led him to become the right-hand man of the king. Oh. God gave you 3 souls. You don't know that God was preparing to become a pastor. Oh, follow up. Mentor them. Do this. After 1 year, you are tired. You have given up on them. They have gone away. Then he comes and says, Father, give me the anointing of Bishop Oyedepo. To do what? No, to do what? After failing in 3 souls, then if God trusts you with 100,000 souls, where would they end up? Wouldn't they all go back? And you are fasting, you will get ulcer. You will get it. Because that anointing will never come. So why they did not catch the anointing is because they failed. In faithfulness, they couldn't see it through. Ask yourself, from the day you were born again, the little assignment that God gave you, little things they gave in the church, how well have you discharged it? You see, let me tell you something. If you found out that you are in a church, okay, and then they are not giving you other tax, it's a sign that you are failure. You failed in the first one, or you are failing the one you are doing. Because this is one thing that Daijo told me. The reward for a good job done is what? More work. That did you always tell you. The reward for a work done well is what? More work. That is the kingdom principle. The question I want to ask you is, you, as you sit here, which of the tax, how many times can we count on you? I don't want to mention names, but there are people who came here, I started with just one tax, and now they are doing multiple tax. Why? Because they have been faithful. And they are catching anointing. You will sit here, we can pour zomi on you, pour a drink on you. I tell you, you will never get anointing. You will go nowhere. because you are not faithful. So it will be wrong for me to teach you how to catch anointing without not me telling you that. Right now, ask yourself, Lord, what assignment am I? Some of you, in fact, since you are born again, you have not done anything in the house of God. You have not. This test, last time I was telling somebody, one of the brothers, how to select a wife. I told the person, I'll go for camp meeting. I'll teach you how to select a wife from there. I'll not say it because the sisters will get a clip. But the boys, when we close, come and see me. Will you let me help my church members? All of our Christ sisters are very spiritual. Rule number one. You see, anybody you see consistent in this ministry, they are spiritual people. If you're not spiritual, you leave. Our ministry is designed that you see people that they spiritual. But character is judged from those who serve. When you go for coming to look out, see those who are willing to serve. Number one, those who go to the kitchen. Those who want to sweep the auditorium. Those who want to, can I do this? Austrian. Things that people will not recognize them. Things that people will insult them. Things that people will come after them. If you see them doing those things there, you are qualified. It's not those who hold their ears and be screaming and shouting. No. Look, see, there are some people, the moment they come for camp, you see that they want to serve. If you're not faithful, let me continue. See, one thing that God. Allah Mashiach. Luke 16 verse 11. Luke chapter 16 verse 11. Let me talk about the prosperity aspect. See, faithfulness is a requirement for anointing. Faithfulness. Any tax you are given, be faithful with it. Luke chapter 16 verse 11. My media people, are you with me? Okay. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who? You see, the little things that we are asking you to do, God is testing you. Those of whom we appointed leaders and have been assigned to work. You see, one thing about me is I don't know how to call people and follow up and ask you to do one. When I say one, two, don't do it, then I'll do my own thing. I'll not push you. But I pray for you. You will not miss out on an anointing because you were not faithful. The Bible said that anybody who plows and looks back is unfit for the kingdom. Some of you are doing one thing and you are so distracted, you cannot stay focused and see it through. One thing, you can't stay focused and see it through. Today, a little year, you leave it, you go here. So you can't stay focused. There is nothing like a small work in the kingdom. Even sweeping the church is a special calling. It will start from sweeping the church. That is how you become an estate owner. Because if you have learned to keep God's place of meeting neat and pure, do you think that God cannot trust in you estates? I pray for you that may God help you to be faithful. May God help us to be faithful. You see, some of us, the next level of our anointing is in what we are doing now, our faithfulness. I've seen it too. That's why every assignment that is given to me, I diligently, with all effort, make sure that the best I can, I give it. When I was leaving UCC as a prayer director, among all the universities and many people that have worked and gone through the hands of chairman in NIA, I was the one. And I was surprised. And I asked that. Daddy said, God is promoting you. Because you were faithful in UCC, now God said, take responsibility of the rest of the universities. Teach the people how to do it. I've seen it too. Faithfulness. So if you give me assignment, I am dedicated. One of the reasons why I came full-time ministry is because I want to do this job faithfully. I've shown myself for it. So that when I'm needed to deliver at Crusade Ground, I'm there. I can help my brothers to make sure that we deliver our job. When I'm here, I am there. I'm just coming from Cape Coast just yesterday. because of this same demand. Faithfulness. And you think that God will not anoint me? No. It's not fasting and prayers alone. I'll get there. Third thing. One more. Then we'll be done. Third thing. The test of sacrifice. The test of sacrifice. That which many people don't know. Now let me tell you this. In the kingdom of God, there is always a price to a price. There is always a price to a price. Even though anointing is free, it's not cheap. If somebody tells you that anointing is cheap, he's lying. You will pay a price for it, even though it's free. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 89 verse 20 that we read, that David have I found. Where was he? That God is now finding him. When I read the scripture this morning, I was pondering over it. And God was telling me that David was found as a result of the sacrifice. Said, my soul pant for thee, my heart longeth for thee in a dry land and a desert. I want to see you just to behold your glory. David will do anything and sacrifice anything to see God. Nothing comes before God, between David and God. Sacrifice. Now, the question is, what are you willing to forsake to get hold of the anointing? Do you know Gehazi's problem? Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20. You see the problem why Gehazi lost the anointing. And that's what most of us have become. Sacrifice. You want to operate in a particular dimension of anointing, but you don't know what it costs to go there. Let's look. Listen to what he said. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he brought, but as the Lord lives. I'd imagine. He said, as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. The guy could not let go. Do you know why? How can the boss minister this healing and deliverance to this man and say he should go free? Who does that kind of sacrifice? Most people are not able to catch an anointing because they are not willing to sacrifice. Do you know the sacrifices some of us have made? That's the question I ask you. What are you willing to let go of for the price? See, there are certain anointing, it is what you have lost that will count unto you. See, there are certain operations that somebody like Reverend Eastwood Annabelle will operate. It's an anointing. If you have not gone through that sacrifice, you can never make it. You can never. He left go of everything and went to the most remote place that you will never want to go. You want to catch an anointing for spectacular moves of God, but I'm not ready to go to the places that demands them. You want to stay in Accra and receive that anointing. Whereas the demand of that anointing is not in Accra, it's somewhere else. You don't get it. So sacrifice the things you can let go. If Gehazi had let this go on, the funny thing is that the boss asked him, that was it the time? There are times to sacrifice and there are times to be blessed. Sacrifice. We are in a generation that anything that we do, God must pay. We can't do anything in the house of God without charging, especially instrumentalists. You think we are wise? No. You are just locking your destiny ordination for God. Because the thing is, it takes sacrifice. Sacrifice. What have you lost for the sake of the kingdom? What have you given up? See, some of us gave up the comfort of our home. I remember I've shared this story with you. How I left my parents in Sefi and came to Accra only to be sacked from my own sister's house And I slept in the Church of Pentecost building for 2 weeks without bathing. Do you know why I couldn't go back? Because I want to still continue preaching in schools, selling books, and following Pastor Richardson to do the job. Whereas my room was locked. Nobody sleeping inside. My bed comfort. I was sleeping on the floor in the church room. I was okay with it. When my father heard that thing, my mom said he cried overnight. He said, what at all is wrong with my son? But he forgot that it was the same anointing that was worrying him. It's the same thing worrying me. We love God to the extent we didn't count. So today I'll say some things. Pastor Richardson and I, Pastor Richardson, you see him today, USA. We used to sleep at stations without mattress. We will go there and we beg the station master. You see, they have those mat that they used to pray. That one. Then they'll give us one. So the books that we are selling is our pillow. We put our head on it. Mosquitoes. Oh. If malaria can kill, like I'm gone. Not once, not twice. I've done the same thing with Pastor Song. As for Pastor Collins, I don't want to talk about our story. That man never spared my life in UCC. We are beaten by rains. Face to face with accident. Elder Prince, I will never forget that story. Our first camp, he had an accident, bleeding, still left. Sunday, he left. Treated it, went and preached. Came back before we took him to the hospital. We were willing to let go of our life, and we still do. Also, do they know that I fell with a speaker at Takwa? Is it Pristia, right? We are setting up. I fell with a speaker under the speaker. We came down and I still got up, continued the work with bruises. You think this anointing came because Kabakobo? No. I've been beaten by rain, sleeping, just watching over machines at Pristia because the place is a dangerous place. Look at my bros, they cry. I'm not married. So you imagine the body. But we're willing to face anybody who wants to take anything with our life. Sacrifice. Today, you think that everything you do. When I started playing keyboard, one of the things I said to myself is that I will never take money for playing this thing. I went to one church of friends because they don't have keyboards. I played. The elder called me. He said, no, daddy, I don't do that. You think you are wise? You can't sacrifice. Gehazi, Allah, magic. He didn't know it was an exchange. If you are so wise, it's serious. So now people can't do anything. Now people have to serve God out of what? Leisure. You are so mindful of your time. So if it is not a leisure period, the kingdom business can be on hold. I always say that any nurse who tells me that I cannot come to church, Elder Bliss has proven that they are liars. They just can't sacrifice. Do you know how many nights he does because for Sunday to get Sunday to come to church? Do you know? Now we are going to have a crusade. He's going to do at least 3 weeks watch night so that he can get 1 week free and can do crusade. He's a nurse working at Kolebu, as busy as anybody. If you are here, you are a nurse. I tell him that you can't serve God. You are not serious. You cannot. You see, that's why when God bless him, the anointing will come upon his life. You cannot have it because you can't. The sacrifice he's making. Which Sunday has he missed? If he's not feeling well, which Sunday, have you seen missing a Sunday before? Then you hear other nurses, hey, I'm on duty. I'm on duty. You are not willing to pay the price for it. Don't give that excuse. I lost my first job because I chose ministry. It's okay. Maybe if I say certain things, some of you may... No. I want to tell you the secret to what God is, the reason why God has favored some of us. If I give the microphone to Pastor Dennis, you hear the things you say. He went to do his national service at where? Is it Borga? Because of ministry. Today, Shroda and all the people you are seeing, Elder AA, who is coming to here, it's because of Pastor Dennis. He went there. And now, we have more than 40 members over there. He left his comfort in Kumasi, went there. Ask him what he went through over there. Today, when you call people, if it is not leisure, today I'll say it to you, can't be anointed. Forget it, you will not catch it. You have missed the test. Sacrifice. So listen to what Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. He said, Emmaus, he has left me. Said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica.
Demas.
Demas generation. The moment there is a threat and a little pressure, they will choose the world.
The question is, what have you sacrificed? What are you sacrificing for that anointing you are looking for? See, there are any anointing you are desiring, ask for the sacrifice price attack tag on it. Want God to use you. You see, these things they don't tell our brothers, so they think that when you pray and you fast, then anointing comes. No. That has its place. But the anointing will come when there is sacrifice, when there is faithfulness, when there is servanthood. You tap any anointing. There is no man of God in this country apart from the Reverend Eastwood I have not served yet. The fathers of the land. When I was on campus, Archbishop Papa is calling. We put our life on the line and we do it. See, we have tapped certain anointings. People don't even know. Last one. So ask yourself, what are you giving up? What is the sacrifice you are making? See, the kingdom of God, things are not cheap. They are free, but they are not cheap. The last one, diligence in spiritual practices. One very important thing. So why people did not catch anointing is because they either were not servant, they were unfaithful, or they never made sacrifice, or they didn't sacrifice enough. What will pain you is that you sacrifice and you are almost done sacrificing and then you stop. Elder Prince, at least 3 times every month he comes to church. It's not even the manual. You see, I just came back from Cape Coast, and when I saw the journey now, I said, hey, my brother is doing well. The traffic and how bad the road is, eh? But every, when God begins to bless people and the anointing is coming upon their life, you think that no, there is sacrifice. It has cost them. That's why you cherish the anointing, because it cost you. The last one, diligence in spiritual practices. The act of consistency and being intentional with your relationship with God. One of the things that people take lightly is to think that even if I serve this man of God and I do this, the anointing will come. There's a place for diligence in spiritual practices, such as prayer and fasting and studying the word. If you don't have a consistent, intentional life of prayer, fasting, and the word of God, you can be faithful, you can sacrifice, you can do whatever you are doing, it will not come. But if you do only this one too, it will not come. All must be in what? In place. You must have these 4 things working. Consistency, watered garden. Remember the principle of watered garden is an art of consistency. You pray today, you pray next year. There are people here, even their Bible is dusted. It's as new as when they bought it 10 years ago. There are certain pages of the Bible, they are so attached to each other because they have not been opened before. I can tell that there are people here, the last time they read the Bible back to back, even some of them have not even done it before. You can't sit down. Even if you even be lazy about it, you can't even take your phone and read just one chapter a day. You can't. If you read the Bible today, you read it next 2 months. Some of us, we only read the Bible when pastor comes to church and preaches. Inconsistency, you're not diligent with your spiritual practices, you don't catch any anointing. You're not. Yes. God will look at your consistency with him and say, oh, let's allow this guy to tap. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Now we read. Today, I think you don't like the sermon. Do you like Pastor's sermon today?
God will bless you. But you have to be faithful. You have to serve. Not high service. Don't. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as man speak to his friend. Now let's look at Joshua's aspect. And he will return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. What does the tabernacle stand for? You know, the tabernacle stands for what? Christ, God, the presence of God. The young man never left that place. The things that keeps us in the presence of God are three things. We stay in his word, we stay in prayer, and we live a life of fasting. These three things, it keeps us. It is a spiritual practice. If you do them, you have constant, you, that means you are at the tabernacle. But there are people, they think that all they have to do is to always be served. No. It's a balance equation. So the reason why people did not catch the anointing, why people don't catch anointing, is because they downplay consistency. Some of you, you were trained to only pray when you have issues. Why? So if you don't have any problem, you don't know how to pray. But actually, prayer is first of all for fellowship. If you don't enjoy praying as fellowship with God, then you have not started your Christian journey yet. So this is the reason why many people didn't catch the anointing. I want to teach you how to catch anointing. But I want to first of all warn you how, even though we can teach you, you can still miss it. You can do everything. Eh? You can do everything to tap an anointing. It will never work if you forsake these four principles. So it's my prayer for you this very morning. And as I'm wrapping up, I want you to start praying and ask for mercy. That, Lord, help me, have mercy on me, that I can be faithful in the little things. As I said, it could just be Bible studies. And that is how books, steady books will start coming out of you. Bishop Dag always says that it is his quiet time that has become the plenty books he written. Consistency. That's why he wrote a book on quiet time. Consistency every day. I want us to pray and say, Lord, help me to be a servant. See, even when nobody's looking at me, and nobody cares what I'm doing, and nobody's even mind what I'm saying, oh God, I will still do it. Said that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, help me to serve. Serve your purposes. Serve men. See, if you can't serve, why do you ask the anointing? Because the anointing is for the people. Oh, my love, Isaiah. One who pray today. See, it's not easy. I know. You see, there's an unmet need in us as human, that when we do things, people appreciate us. But I tell you, the work of the kingdom, most times nobody appreciates you. Nobody. Pastor will not go and say, oh, you are doing your home. No. You see, you'll be doing it and nobody even looks at your direction. And it becomes a struggle. Hey, so nobody can say thank you. And you say, I'll not do it again. Because nobody's looking at me. But you don't know that God is watching you. I said, God is watching you. Pray that, Lord, help me that I will not give up. The little things that you have assigned me, I'll be faithful. It is required that a servant, a steward, be found faithful. Moreover, it is required that a steward be found faithful. He said, you are faithful with a few things, you shall rule over many things. Before many, there was few. Let's pray and say, Father, mercy, help us. Grace, oh, give us grace. Give us that grace that we will continue in the little things we have been asked to do. We will not be begged. We will not be forced. We will not be persuaded before we will be willing to do what is expected of us. We will not be begged. We will not be persuaded before we will be willing to do that is expected of us. Then how can that become an act of faithfulness if we cannot serve with all integrity? If we cannot see through a task that is assigned to us? It could be just three souls that God has assigned you to do. Maybe all that God has assigned you to do is that follow up on this sister, follow up on this brother, keep watch on him, and that is all. But you don't know that that act is what is going to lead to the next thing that God is going to open your doors. How could it be that if David has failed
as a shepherd over the sheep of his father, how could God have trusted in his hand the whole nation of Israel? David could have said that my father did not care about me. How can a young man at 16 years, my father will leave me on the desert alone in the hands of dangerous animals just because of a few sheep? The Bible said it was just a few sheep, but the Bible said that David willingly and out of his heart faithfully served, did that. The Bible said, he said unto Saul, when the bears and the lions do come after this sheep, I put my life on the line for animals. And God said that if this young man can faithfully put his life on the line for animals, how much more my people? I said it could be a few things, things that people don't recognize. Oh, nobody will recognize when you sweep and you clean here. Nobody will recognize the things you are doing. But I tell you, God is watching. And the Bible said, God is the rewarder. And that is where the anointing will come from. I pray for you that you stand faithful. For did thou plows and lose back, is unfit for the kingdom. You will not look back. And I pray that you will be willing to sacrifice. The Bible said, Elisha, he left everything. The Bible said, Elisha left everything. He left everything, and he followed Elijah, the man with a business, 12 oxen. The man was from a very rich home, but he forsook it. The Bible said Moses, after seeing all the treasures of Egypt, still forsook it and held on to the wretchedness of the cross of Christ. The Bible is saying that a man not shall take care. Moses saw all the wealth of Egypt and still choose to be counted among the slaves of Egypt. I pray for you that you will choose something. It will cost you, it will cost you dearly. Sometimes your sleep, sometimes your money, sometimes you'll be buffeted. But I tell you, that is where the anointing will come from. I tell you, that is what will provoke the anointing in the name of Jesus. Stay in consistency. Do not give up in praying. Pray always. Always be in prayer. Stay in the word. Always make time to study the Bible. Listen to messages. Join the fellowship of the brethren. Never make excuse for meeting. And I tell you, it is out of this that you are ready to be anointed.
You are ready to be anointed. Hakila mama sovelebede. Out of this, that you'll be ready to be anointed. Our life will never end up as Gehazi. We will never end up like Gehazi. Oh, Caesar, it will not be said that you were on the path of catching anointing, but you ended up with leprosy. You can't. No. It will not be our. It will not be our story. It will never be our story. We will catch the anointing. I said we will tap that anointing. It could not be said that this young man was doing so well financially and God was raising him, and at the end of the day, he lost it. God will help us. Your next level of anointing, you will catch it. You will catch it. You will catch it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Just glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.